Hello, and welcome to the Architects of Destination Advocacy podcast from Destinations International, the trade association representing destination organizations around the globe, brought to you exclusively by Relic Agency as part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andreas Weisenborn, and welcome you for checking out our podcast. For each episode, we want to tell the story of both usual and unusual suspects in our sector's history and the key advocacy moments for them. These stories are meant to tell the tale in full, covering many of our strategic issues and opportunities our sector faces, whether it be community alignment, destination stewardship, resilience, or actions based on values. We hope you listen in and learn from your peers. With that, let's get to the show. Hello and welcome back. I'm Andreas Weisenborn, your host for today for a special annual convention, Architects of Destination Advocacy podcast. And with me today is actually the original guest, and I'm so glad to have back on, Jack Johnson. So we're actually going to hop right into this because by the time you get this, you're hopefully joining us, high-fiving us, having a great time at our annual convention in Toronto. But we really wanted to talk about two key initiatives and really an excitement that we have, two topics that we've been writing about for the past 6 months at annual convention. So with that, let's first welcome back Jack. So Jack, welcome back.
Andreas, thank you. Pleasure to finally make my way back.
Yes. I know no stranger to the podcast, but we wanted to really welcome back because it really was inspired by the two writings that were put out this past year that we're really going to focus a huge amount of time at annual convention with, is what we are calling essentially the Destinations International Foundation Challenge. But let's back up just a little bit. So for listeners of the guest, what actually is the Destinations International Foundation?
The foundation is our charitable arm. We actually are made up of two critters, for lack of a better word, a 501c3 and a 501c6, according to U.S. IRS codes. The association, which is the bulk of our business and who employs us all, is the association. But the foundation was created to assist the foundation in meeting its goals and has evolved into allowing the association to kind of concentrate on the here and now. How do we help our members achieve what's in front of them? And the foundation's focus is future. We'd like to say it's the incubator of new ideas. It's the innovator of new products. It basically is the research and development arm of Destinations International. It's the think tank of our industry sector.
Now, for listeners who may have never heard of the foundation, I can assure you, you have benefited from the foundation. A couple quick things and monumental things the foundation has done. So very famously, about 10 years ago, it helped launch the Event Impact Calculator, which we've now surpassed 300 clients. If you attended our advocacy summit originally, that was, Jack mentioned, incubated by the foundation. Our recent EDI program and obviously hiring of Sophia Foundation. Jack, other things people don't realize that the foundation has been responsible for incubating over to the association?
Andreas Weisenborn was incubated by the foundation. Actually.
Quality investment, I'll say.
The original research department that we created back in 2016, 2017 was initially sponsored and underwritten by the foundation so we could get that up and running. Yeah, it's been a tremendous opportunity. We kind of focus on some of the same areas, community advocacy research, many of the research studies that we do, the signature study, Destination Next Future Study is a foundation report. And then where we're really growing is on the education side. Our cornerstone program is the 30 Under 30 program, which was originally kind of an award program to highlight and acknowledge those future leaders. What we've turned it into is a full-scale education and mentoring program by first making it, instead of just an awards program at the annual convention, we've added 12 months of online learning that's attached to it. We've created mentoring opportunities. We've created peer engagement opportunities among the 30 under 30. We've expanded that in the past year where the 30 under 30s are now actually producing, creating sessions at all of our events and many other events, so PCMA and MPI for one. And then starting this year, they will be heavily involved in the Destinations International Foundation Challenge.
Yep. And that's important. Just to emphasize how important the foundation is
to the success of the sector and the association. From tool to content to personnel, it is a vital asset to us. Again, like you've heard us both describe, incubate new ideas and execute on really key things that benefit the sector and industry at large. You mentioned the challenge. Before we get to that, I thought we'd bring up just annual convention real quick. This is my fifth as a staff. What is your sixth? Does that sound right? Or seventh?
Six, I think.
So we're in Toronto. One of our first, I know my first was in Montreal. So I'm excited to be back in Canada. This is our, second, I would say, post-live. I don't want to quite say post-COVID yet, but I kind of thought we'd kind of talk through, because annual convention means so many things to so many people. And that's what makes it, I think, sort of excitement. But if you, I know we have to describe this to our partners, but how would you describe annual convention to someone who's never attended before?
Oh, wow. It is an incredible opportunity for engagement. It's an incredible opportunity for learning. It's an incredible opportunity for networking. And it's kind of one of those things that kind of refreshes you, despite the fact that you will spend a lot of time picking up new ideas and making new contacts. One of the most valuable things I think we do as an association is creating community. And the annual convention is where the community comes together and meets in person once a year. And that is so, so, so important, given that almost all of our destinations, the destination organization that they all work for is the only one in that town. So their peers really are elsewhere. So it's really an opportunity to learn, to gather, to make new friends, to make new peers, and really expand yourself.
Yeah. I mean, not more I can say to that. I mean, it is just such a pinnacle of something I found very early on is that you can have a problem with someone else, the other part of the world, and realize a solution or an answer they might already had or commiserate with on the same problem, and really bond yourself, really to feel really connected to the community of the destination organization. So hopefully we get to see you there. If you're listening to it, why then please give us a nod, high five there. We'd love to meet you in person as well. But that's why I want to emphasize the point you meant about the coming together of the community. And that's really what we talk about, the Destinations International Foundation Challenge. So let's just back up just briefly. So in the spring, we really kind of released two, I would say, monumental thought leadership pieces out there. The first being, are you concerned with violent crime in our destinations? So are we. And secondly, why we need a destination promotion community measurement. Our plan is actually to take both these topics and really go through a think tank, hackathon, incubator, look at these two subject matters at annual convention with two thought leadership groups about the subjects. Now, two massive topics. Jack, you got a preference which one you want to start first with?
Let me preclude that. I mentioned that we consider the foundation, the think tank of the industry, our industry sector, and this foundation challenge that we hope to make an annual event is actually the coming of life of that. So it goes beyond actually us producing reports or stuff like that. It actually is investing in the community and having the community come together and help us solve a problem that you and I haven't really been able to totally get our hands around. So this is kind of important. We're very, very proud of it. It's another evolution of the things that has been on our laundry list to implement. So I'm pretty proud of that. So either one, take your pick.
Let's do violent crime first. So it's important to note as we record this in the middle of July, when we first put out this piece, this was before, the events of Buffalo, Uvalde, Highland Park. Yes, thank you. And obviously, it has really grappled with us in this country, particularly of gun violence. But when we really started to write about it and note about it, it was really violent crime across all metrics. Obviously, gun violence being one, but domestic violence, road rage, all across the board, we were seeing violence. Since you penned the original note, I just kind of wanted to give you a chance as to the original onset and what sort of where it came from to write this and put this out into our community.
Again, it's to the purpose of the think tank is to crack those ideas that you and I haven't been able to do. Al Hutchinson from Baltimore, Fred Dixon from New York, A few others kind of brought it to this to us repeatedly, several times actually, and said, you know, this is something that Destinations International has to do something about. And I'm literally like, what? And it took us a while to get our arms around it, and they kept on the pressure, God bless them. And finally it kind of dawned on us, this is the perfect entity to run through our process. It's also one of the, I think in the end will be one of our signature elements of work that we've done. Destination organizations are finding themselves, hopefully, at more tables that they've ever been at before, more seats that they own that are theirs in the community. And there's going to be a lot of areas where we want the destination organization to take that leadership role, whether it's in the hospitality industry, whether it's involving economic development, destination promotion, all of that. There's also going to be those areas where we expect the destination organization to contribute, not necessarily to drive. And this is a perfect example that is certainly not something that is in our wheelhouse. It's certainly not something we are entering this process expecting to solve the great issues of the causes of violent crime. But it's something that's affecting our brand. It's something that's all around us. It's something that's affecting our home. And therefore, it's something that we should be involved with coming up with solutions. And there may be a wide range of things that may seem like little things, but are important. What type of information is flowing from the destination organization to police, fire, and other first responders? What information is flowing back from them to you and then passing on to your members or your partners or stakeholders? It may be programmatic things that destination organizations can participate in. There's a wide variety of things, and those are probably just as important as anything a destination organization does, because if it's going to be literally this community asset, this community benefit, it's got to be involved in all the aspects, the important aspects of a community, not just on how you should position yourself or not how you should market yourself or not how the hospitality industry should be regulated. You need to get involved in things like this. And finding out how to do that has been our mission for the last, 3 months? We have 3 more months after this.
Yep. I think what made this such a unique one, again, the idea of to get our arms around was, because you're exactly right, we know destinations are not the single source solution to this. Like we don't craft laws, you know, we don't have our own police force to enforce things like that. However, I think to me, the sort of aha moment was two things. One was to go back to, you know, the great circle of life, you know, analogy from Mara Gass. And we both kind of inserted a spot there in the beginning, which was, you know, people always say it always begins with a visit. And we've sort of said, well, it largely begins with a brand, and anything that affects your brand, that's what destinations do well, is they steward a brand. So anything that affects your brand, you should be at the table with, you know?
Yeah. It's the most important asset they have.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I've always said it's one of the few things that transcends, you know, physical, virtual, emotional tones, you know, tugs the heartstrings. It is their brand.
Right.
And I think the other aspect was just how uniquely qualified to talk about a table, coming to a table, how uniquely qualified destinations are that are the best suited to bring public, private, civic, social, you know, commercial entities together. Maybe it's not the destinization providing the solution. Maybe they're there just there to listen, to support, or to offer help or offer their own data or stuff like that, which I think that's kind of what really, to me, sort of cracked the nut of saying, no, we have a role here and we can help the destinations at large try to tackle this domestically. You know, and as part of this, you know, as we've recorded today, we've actually done probably close to 10 hours of listening tours on this subject. You know, again, just to double down on just, we are really a network of communities and committees as part of this work. And we've gone through almost every committee and heard very, very emotional aspects to this issue. Jack, you've been there with me through all of them, through almost 10 hours of this stuff. You know, I have my feelings about just listening to so much emotion. Just wanted to hear your thoughts on listening to so many of our members talk about this, since we put out the piece and put out to hear their feedback from it.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the idea that we're a community, and we're probably, well, there's a community back home in our community. This is the community that understands that our job is to promote a destination. And when something like this happens, it affects everyone in the home community differently, but it really strikes at the destination organization because it's kind of a kick in the gut for the brand. And it's their job to not only articulate the brand, identify the brand, but really to protect the brand, nurture the brand. So something like this is not only a tragic loss of people and neighbors and friends, but it's also a damage to the thing that you're most charged with cherishing. So that's been important. I don't think I fully understood that until we went through this process. So a lot of emotion here. And that's a good thing. And that also is kind of shaping us in terms of what a destination organization can help with responding. And that's, what do you do at those first several hours, that first few days? We're storytellers. We do a lot of promotion activities, campaigns, whatever, that are very emotionally based. We can help the city connect with itself. Whether it's outrage or whether it's mourning, we as an organization can help connect with that.
Yeah. I mean, apart going through listening to our one to point out that I don't think really dawned on me until I heard our members talk about it was how this is also fundamentally an economic development issue. Again, anything that affects your brand, this all goes back to, I've called it many times, the talent wars. We're all competing for talent acquisition. And anything that hinders that, for people to second guess, not only just visiting, but actually living in your community, enjoying it, is an economic development issue. If a company decides maybe not to have a headquarters there or relocate or have a convention or a meeting there, that's an economic development issue, a ramification of your brand taking a hit.
Think about as we went through COVID and we are underscoring how important it was that destination organizations had to be able to communicate whether their destination was safe for people to visit, as well as to their residents, that it was safe to have visitors. It's kind of that same concept. How do you get your hands around saying, it's still safe to come to our destination?
Yeah. At the end, we're going to talk a little bit about what some of the outcomes of these two challenges is, but I want to give time to go to the next challenge. And I'm just realizing now as I'm talking to you, I didn't realize, but I almost think these two challenges are almost like a left brain, right brain kind of thing.
They are.
And this is totally kind of on brand for us. But the next one, and why we need a destination promotion community measurement. To me, and I'm going to let you explain it, but I just want to preface, I think this is one of those things that it's a natural continuation of the community shared value. But I think it's one of those things when you hear it out loud and you don't hear us talk about it first, you're kind of scratching like, huh? And it reminds me of a very similar word we were trying to articulate before we could articulate a community shared value. I kind of see this as one of those same things. It's something I'm very much excited for. Like I said, left and right brain thing. But again, another piece we put out in the spring. Talk through it, Jack.
Originally we were only going to do one concept, and this was the concept. So this was the first one. And this is, to me at least, the one we've been hardest for us to crack, and yet it's so critical and important, and maybe that's why we're overthinking it or something, I don't know. But if you look at how a community plans for the future, how governments will actually lay out a strategic plan for the destination, and those goals are always have measurements attached to them. There's a variety of measurements that are brought in and taken into consideration, but if you can identify, it is our goal to have 95% graduation rate from our public schools or whatever, there are indicators that will tell you how well you're doing against that goal. We don't really have one for our business. When I look at dashboards that cities have put together, most of the time there is no reference to our industry. There's references to public health and mental health. There's livability numbers. There are sustainability numbers, environment numbers, there's education numbers, there's goals built around all these other public goods, even as, how much, the quality of water and how fast and how completely garbage pickup is handled. There's numbers that are attached to all this and a goal at the end. And what I noticed about that is they're all very kind of self-explanatory about why that's so important. And they're measuring basically how they're doing against their goal. And basically, they're also measuring the people involved. How are they doing in terms of maximizing the community impact? Rarely see, like I said, anything in tourism and travel on their dashboards. And if we do, it says it's two things. It's, you know, what are the annual hotel tax revenues and what is the greatest number? What's the number of visitors we had? As if just driving those up is the sole goal of what it is we do. And while it's good to attract many visitors, it doesn't really attract, doesn't really delve into the intricacies of the mix of visitors, when they come and when they don't come, where they're going, where they're not going. It doesn't really measure the branding stuff, the branding work that we do. Even if you don't get people to come, but they develop a positive view of your destination, you've actually made an achievement. And perhaps they'll talk to someone else, or perhaps when someone's in the room saying, where we should have a meeting, like, I've never been there, I hear it's good. Those are the type of things you want to generate. And those measurements really don't. They're industry measurements that kind of tell you whether how you're doing along the way, but they don't have anything to do with the ultimate goal, which is, are you making your community better through travel and tourism? Are you assisting the other efforts that are out there? Talent acquisition, business investment, getting people to move. So we need to come up with that measurement. And this is a wonderful opportunity because there's this void there. And if we're going to play this role in the community, if we're going to be this community shared value, the common good, and if we're going to be respected in the same way that, you know, they respect all the other public goods that are out there, then you kind of have to have this measurement attached to it. Now, we have more measurements than most industries have. There are so many ways to dice and cut and slice what it is we do, how we do it. And those are great for us, but it's not what the community is looking for. That great moment or sad moment or whatever that we saw on tape when one of our members was testifying in front of their city council. At the end, the city manager kind of exasperation says, I know you quote all these industry metrics and I know you believe in them, but we don't understand them. And they have no idea why they should be following those metrics. So they're not a community indicator. They're just a hospitality measurement.
I think this one makes me so excited because it goes to the core of what we do in our advocacy work. And if we go back again, the mandate and the mission of the community shared value about destination promotion being seen as a common good, all those other common goods have some level of measurement. And what makes them beautiful is that you don't actually fundamentally need to know how they work to understand when they do or don't work. You mentioned graduation rate for education.
Right.
It's great. If you say a graduation rate percentage, you have some semblance of, oh, okay, that implies how well the teachers are performing, how well the students are doing, how well they're performing on tests and metrics.
Being taught something that they're at least achieving a minimal competency in order to get that certificate, that graduation.
And you can extrapolate it to other common goods too. You know, another one we've seen with clean water is people often talk about parts per million of lead or something like that. You have an understanding, okay, there's minimal lead in the water or something like that. Okay, then But you understand that your Department of Public Works is doing its job to keep people safe. Air quality, AQI, is another one I see often now, particularly as we're entering, you know, climate change, of you understand how well the air and those around you are performing in it.
Response time by first responders. I mean, you instantly understand getting a police getting there as quickly as possible, a fire truck arriving as quickly as possible.
One I recently wrote about and I had to thank my toddler son about is a power plant and the generation of power. We rode past a building with giant, you know, he's called them buildings, but they were, you know, smokestacks from a coal firing plant. Just kind of asked me, what is that? And I was like, well, it's a power plant. What does it do? It generates power. And it dawned on me to realize that power plants can be extremely complex things, from nuclear to, you know, thermal to all kinds of stuff. But yet I fundamentally understand that when I flick on my lights and the light turns on, the power plant, the energy company, is performing well. And yet when I too flick on my lights and they don't go on, or I get brownouts or blackouts, I instantly connect the dots and so, oh, that power company or our energy grid is not performing as is needed. And that's kind of the analogy we have to get to for what we do.
Which is why outages and length of the outages and the geographical area of outages is one of the top measurements that power companies get held to.
Yeah. And I guess it also emphasizes so much on this is that we also understand what to explain that every community will have different measurements that mean more to them than others. Another good common good, the finance, you know, industry, every county here domestically has a credit rating, you know, and we might understand what goes into the credit rating, but we know it's a problem if the credit rating falls, and we know it's a benefit if the credit rating goes up. And every community kind of cares about some of those things differently, you know? And so we didn't want to put out there and say, you know, this is the single sole measurement or a single index or sorry, indicator, but actually could be a culmination of several indexes or several, you know, degrees of measurement that get to an index or a larger number that everyone can represent behind.
Yeah. And we also got to be very careful and examine that measurement. I still remember being at McCormick Place where we had one simple measurement that we would tell the world. It was, you know, we have more of the Trade Show 200 conventions than any other convention center, period. And then when we lost that title, we had to explain why it never mattered in the first place, because there was no way we were going to get it back. Las Vegas and Orlando, hey, we're going to keep that. But in all honesty, it never, ever mattered. Because the top 200 trade shows has nothing to do with the industries that Chicago wants to be involved with, or not even the most spending delegates. Medical shows outspend them, you know, 2-1, 3-1. So getting to that measurement that's not going to burn you at some point in the future, but actually is a real measurement of what it is you do, how well you're doing it, and how it benefits the community, that's the point where we got to get to.
So there's one thing, and I don't know if we're doing this on purpose, but for community shared value, we deemed it 4 questions. Now for this, we deem it 3 questions. We're getting to the point where it'll just be 1 question. But the 3, and again, I'm going to articulate, we mentioned every community might be different, but these indicators have to fundamentally answer 3 questions, right? What does a destination organization do, which I understand can be tough? How well did the destination organization do it? And finally, are the residents, again, our number one stakeholder, fundamentally in the community better off because of it?
Yeah. I mean, going back to the high school, graduation rate tells you what it is they do. It gives you one element of whether a success or not, but not a full element. So you add, I mean, they could be graduating a whole bunch of D students. So you add grade point average. That kind of gives you a feel. Again, kind of tells you what they do. They take grades. There's more than one class. And A, B average or whatever is a good thing compared to a C or D perhaps. But that still doesn't answer that final question. So you've got to come up with a statistic somehow that says, and of all the people that graduated from that high school, X number percent or whatever is now going to college or full-time and making the community a better place.
Yep. So obviously we've outlined 2 major topics for annual convention to kind of talk small, a little bit of logistics. We have 30 individuals, 60 in total across 2 different groups, to talk these 2 subject matters. Because again, 1, Jack and I can't solve it alone. And 2, it really is something that should be owned and, you know, driven by the sector and the industry at large. And that's kind of why we want to take it.
It is the way we like to do things, because I think you end up with a stronger result. It takes longer to get there and maybe not as clean and easy. But instead of us handing down solutions from, you know, Mount Olympus, things that are ideas for what we should be working on that come from the destination organization community. And if destination organizations can not just identify the problems, but help us come up with the solutions, you just get a better product in the end.
Yeah. Advocacy 101, chapter 1 is always grassroots. And I think that's something both you and I are really proud of the work we've done, but really proud of the sector and the industry at large, that we can call upon that and look at that as a holistic grassroots approach to try to solve big topics and issues like this.
It's worth noting on that grouping, the 30 out of 30 program, which I mentioned before, partnering to encourage them to stay in the industry, is one of the best ways is to have them actually, you know, help shape the industry. So we're using half of the group will actually be those 30 under 30s. Hopefully a byproduct of this is they've expanded their networks beyond just peers by age or peers by career, but peers by DMO and topic. But they'll also literally have their fingers on the way the industry develops. And hopefully that helps to keep them within our industry Because they really are a very smart bunch. It takes a, you really have to be on your game these days to get selected for 30 under 30 because competition is so stiff. And then the other 30 people that we have in the mix is a mix of destination organization folks, they, not all CEOs. It's a mix of people from research, people from marketing, people from all over. And then we have some of our destination partners. It's particularly important with community indicator because a lot of them are bringing different slices of measurements that they're aware of, that they're involved with, that might help make up the final product. The good thing is it's an invitation only, and people are saying yes to the invitation. In fact, we have a waiting list for any things that open up in there. This is going to be an annual process, and we'll tackle anywhere between 2, 3, or 4 topics every year.
Yeah, and that's the part I wanted to cement here is that it is a first time for us, but I'm exciting because I do think this is a pathway for other big problems we hope to solve every year, several problems, hopefully. But just wanted to get your thoughts. What would you hope to be an outcome from this? Not being a single solution, but how do you hope the experience to go?
I hope we learn a lot, which we have already. And I think the people involved in the process have learned a lot. I think a lot of people join these conversations that we're holding kind of tentatively, like, I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't think I have anything to add. I just want to listen. And I think everyone got involved. So that's a positive thing. We have hard products that are coming out of here. Products, the wrong word, tools, perhaps. Coming out of the violent crime track will be a collection of best practices that destination organizations are using across not just in the United States, but beyond, things that you can take back to your community and say, hey, what about this? These are things that you can take back to your mayor, your civic leaders, and say, look, this is what I got. I had a conversation earlier today with the U.S. Conference of Mayors to kind of outline some of the things we are working on to see what would pique their interest. This is the number one thing that piques their interest. They're actually looking for whatever product, whatever this book of best practices that we have is going to be. So we're also achieving another goal, which is hopefully laying that groundwork for that better relationship between the government side of the equation and the destination organization side of the equation. And then the same thing on the community indicator, a white paper hopefully comes out of it. We'll hopefully have 1 or 2 or 3 or 4, whatever it is, community indicators that are useful. And then we'll write it all up in Y. And we're also planning on taking that to not only giving back to our members for them to take home, but actually take that to the U.S. Conference of Mayors and some of the other organizations we're going to begin to work with primarily in 23. So on the one hand, we're doing the legwork in order to get the message out. And this is a really, really good way of doing that to these groups.
Yeah. And just a bit of the time, I just want to understand, this is not, I guess, like an end point for us. This is really just, it's like you're on a long bus trip. This is the part we get to stretch our legs up, but we're going right back on the bus to continue with it, to put out there, you know, after annual convention, the next place you can find us is going to be Advocacy Summit in Bloomington, Minnesota at the end of October. These two things are going to be major, major, major topic points for us for Advocacy Summit.
Yeah, that's our release date. There'll be other stuff that comes from this process over that will follow up, but basically that's the release date. That's our target end date for the project. I think it was smart of us to lay it out over 6 months because it's allowed us to do it correctly and do it thoroughly.
And since, again, sort of final bit here, this is not the only thing we've been working on. As we record this too, we're really sort of, I hate using the word unprecedented, but we really are feeling like we're in unprecedented times. At least that we hear domestically, but one of our signature topics we talked about in 2017 to 2019 was weaponization of travel boycotts and bans. Just wanted you to talk just a little briefly about that, since where we are right now, that subject matter coming up much more prevalently again at the offset of the pandemic, that is.
Yeah, the political sessions are back in full. The divisions that we thought would begin to heal seem to be hard fast. And the idea of meetings, conventions, events, whatever, even tourists, leisure tourists, not going some places because of politics is really boiled back up again. I've been fielding a lot of calls. I know you've had been fielding calls. We're definitely going to go back in the field again and do some more research. But the important thing is here is we're reiterating our opinion, Destinations International's opinion, that travel should not be used as a tool to evoke political change. the best thing you can do is not to not go someplace. It's actually to go that place and then learn what those people are thinking, but also take your time, take your travel money and invest it in supporting those on the ground who live in that state, who are supporting the position you're supporting. That's how you change, make change. As a former legislative staffer and a former political campaign guy, the things that we legislators, elected officials tend to care about is, you know, who are my voters? Are they voting for me or against me and why? And the other thing is, I need revenue to run a campaign. Are they my campaign donors? I don't really care what someone from three states away says. And the other thing to remember is travel is across the board. So that was a great example we found in North Carolina, that despite the fact that they had this highly publicized boycott, their numbers went up. It may not have been the ideal mix of tourists, but overall their numbers went up. So it's not like they're losing all your money. Someone else is backfilling some of that. So the impact doesn't really resonate.
Yeah. So again, just to reiterate, I mean, I think everything part of this conversation, there is a lot of questions that we have, that our sector has of us, that we are trying to be cohesive, mindful, and diligent on approaching these things. Because as we've learned, not just violent crime or the community indicator or representation of travel, there is typically no single source solution for any of them. It's typically a multifaceted, nuanced answer to many of them.
Plus, you have the EDI assessment coming up.
Yeah, that's what I say. But the final point I was to make sure that for our listeners are listening to this, there's so much more to annual convention. And these are two big parts. And I want to thank Jack for coming on and talk through them. But just to remind everyone, just kind of where to find us at annual. So not only do we have these two major initiatives going, Jack, I know you're going to be on a panel on violent crime itself. I will also be doing a session on our upcoming EDI assessment tool, which I will definitely hopefully get Sophia on the podcast to talk through as well later in the year. A workforce initiative we have going on towards ergonomics. Any other ones that you're going to be featured at, Jack, or talking through?
No, just the mechanics of running an organization and handling the election of the new slate.
Yes, always fun.
Always fun. My highlight.
Maybe we'll do a podcast sometime about board management and board slates somewhere, board governance.
And then again, another plug for the Advocacy Summit coming up. Not only will these things that we're talking about kind of reach their conclusion or their high point there, we're actually building out a slightly different version of the summit this year, which is actually going to mix hopefully four workshops that are built around certain concepts that are involved with being a successful advocate. And the sessions will be geared around those workshops. So it'll be really great learning experience for everyone.
Yes. And just so everyone listening to this, we hope to open registration in August for Advocacy Summit in Mall of America. I'm trying to rename it Mall of Advocacy. So just small plug for everyone for that. But Jack, thanks again for joining. Anything, final words you want to say to the audience?
Thanks for sticking with us all this time. And again, everything we do for you is because of what you do for us. So it's great.
Perfect. So thank you again for joining myself, Andreas Weisenborn, and Jack Johnson on this month's episode of The Architects of Destination Advocacy. Please make sure to subscribe within your podcast listening service to always catch the latest episode. To learn more about the work we do, please make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at destinationsinternational.org or checking out our content through the advocacy section at the website or speaking at one of our upcoming events. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.